Our next presenter is Antoinette Lawrence from the University of Pretoria. Antoinette holds a bachelor's degree in information science from the University of South Africa, and she started working at the Jotello F. Soga Library at the Faculty of Veterinary Science, University of Pretoria, in 1991. She is currently the information specialist for the Department of Production Animal Studies and the Center for Veterinary Wildlife Studies. She is also responsible for creating and maintaining the library's web pages, the library reference pages on the university's online learning system, ClickUp, and the library's formal information literacy training programs. She is involved in several digitization projects for the university's open access repository, UP Space. Antoinette says her special interest is in library mobile and e-technology. The second author for the paper is Susan Marsh. She's a graduate of the University of Pretoria and holds an honours degree in library and information science. In September 2009, when I retired, she was appointed as head of the Jotello F. Soga Library of the Faculty of Veterinary Science, and she is also an information specialist. Antoinette.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The idea of One Health is not actually that new, as new as you might think, about 400 years before Christ. A Greek physician, Hippocrates, discussed in his book on airs, water, and places that it is better and you will find less illnesses if you stay close to clean waters and clean winds, meaning stay to water that is running. Then the term One Medicine was used by Dr. Calvin Schwaber from the University of California, Davis, in his book, One Medicine, Veterinary Medicine and Human Health. And just for interest, that is a copy of that book, which he signed for us in our library. Okay, maybe we must start and just have a quick overview of a few definitions. A collaborative effort of multiple disciplines to obtain optimal health for people, animals, and the environment. And as you can see, in each case of the different definitions, it is important that you see it's animals, it's people, it's environment that has interaction on each other. Kate Jones and her co-authors analyzed a database of 335 emerging infectious diseases cases, and they found that 60.3% of these emerging infectious diseases resulted from zoonosis. 71.8% of these emerging infectious diseases had their origins in wildlife. And they also realized that there was a high correlation between the origins of these emerging infectious diseases and the socioeconomic factors, the ecological factors, and the environmental factors. The University of Pretoria is the only university in South Africa that has a veterinary, a medical, social sciences, and natural and agricultural sciences faculties. It is therefore possible for the university to introduce and apply the One Health approach in these relevant faculties. Keeping in mind the findings from the previous slide, the development of the MNISI, goodness gracious, it looks better on the screen than on this one, The Munisi community program, it was the ideal opportunity to embrace this One Health concept and at the same time introduce our students from the university to this concept. Now, Munisi is situated in the northeastern part of the Mpumalanga province of South Africa. It is situated at a very multidimensional interface. It borders conservation areas with an abundance of wildlife. The local inhabitants owns animals, livestock as well as wild animals. And the humans and the environment interact on a daily basis with these animals. The impact, therefore, is bidirectional. The movement of diseases from wildlife to domestic animals, diseases from animals to humans. So therefore, it is important that we look at all these interfaces. Just a few facts about this area, which we call Munisi. It's mainly Shangaan-speaking inhabitants. And as you can see, the levels of poverty ranges from extremely poor to lower income levels. The aim of this Munisi community project is to improve the health and welfare of the people in this community. Therefore, the principle of research into use is also applied. The community is kept informed and involved at all times. This is a very important factor for us to keep them informed of all the research that is ongoing in their community. And of course, various stakeholders are involved in this project to facilitate the sustainable upliftment of this community. Two more legs of this initiative also form part of this project. The Thlubukani Animal Clinic is one of them. This clinic was opened in 2009. It was erected in the Thlubukani settlement in the Munisi community. It serves the community in keeping the animals healthy. Dr. Greg Simpson, who is the resident veterinarian, is supported by final year students during their two-week clinical rotation visit to this specific clinic. The service to the community includes lots of clinical work, normal things like inoculations, sterilizations. The work can be done at the clinic, but a well-equipped ambulatory service is also available to go out to all the owners of these animals. Another service to the community, and I think that is something quite unique to Africa, is dip tanks. In this community, they have 20 dip tanks, where the students start early morning at sunrise, really sometimes even before sunrise. The owners bring their animals to the dips. The students look at the animals, they treat sick animals, and the animal health technicians dip the cattle for parasites. Also, learner education is a very important role because not only do these students, the veterinary students, together with the School of Public Health from the University of Witwatersrand, visit the animal and human health clinics. They also visit schools. They make the school children aware of zoonoses, but also promote the careers of veterinary medicine and human medicine. And of course, the farmers' education is an extremely important role. Of course, students assist all the researchers in their endeavors to do research there. They collect lots of data for these researchers. Now, the third leg of this whole project is the Hanshuisen Wildlife Research Station. The original Hanshuisen Wildlife Research Station was opened on the 15th of July, 1983, by the late Hans Otto Hoheisen. It was previously managed by the Transvaal Provincial Administration, Nature Division Conservation. But after, due to a lack of funds in the early 1990s, this whole research station fell into disuse and disrepair. After about a decade of total disrepair, it was decided to once again relaunch this facility. It was a joint venture between the Peace Parks Foundation and the Limpopo Department of Economic Development, Environment and Tourism. Unfortunately, soon after this agreement, the boundaries of the provinces in South Africa changed, which moved this facility from the Limpopo province to Mpumalanga. And unfortunately, all the agreements, all the talking had to start all over again. But fortunately, on the 22nd of June 2009, a memorandum of understanding was signed between the Peace Parks Foundation, the University of Pretoria, and Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Association. At this stage, the University of Pretoria's library, Jatela Efsoga Library, was brought into the picture because the veterinary faculty was asked to continue with the management of this research faculty. We inherited a library, and we had to do something with that library. We haven't seen that library even before. So the library needed attention, and they wanted to start the renovations. The library had to be cleared up. So the only way to do this, as I was the librarian for the Wildlife Research Centre, I had to go there and see what our inheritance contains. Old books, journals, mostly unbound, boxes, and boxes containing research reports, maps, you can't believe. Many files with raw research data, aerial photographs, I think even more than the maps, and a huge number of files containing original copies of articles, and of course, various other paraphernalia. First step was to clear the library because the people wanted to start working. So we just had to start packing boxes full of all this information. We tried to keep all the stuff together, shelf by shelf, put it into the boxes, label the boxes, and it was off to safe storage. It took about a year to clean up the place and to renovate. And as I still had a few days to spare, I decided to start putting that information somewhere because it needs to be form part of our collection. So the only way I could think about at that stage was to create an Excel spreadsheet, which was fairly simple to use, to make it possible for non-librarians to help add the necessary information to the spreadsheet. Well, fortunately, with the help of Professor Creek and the help of Mari Watson, who is the technical administration assistant for that section, we managed to barcode and wrote up 6 boxes before we left. Now, where do you start when you want to incorporate another library's material into your own? Due to the fact that various stakeholders are part of this agreement, we had to change to create a new location. So after a few suggestions, we decided on Hans Huisen Collection, Orpengate, because it's actually situated at the Orpengate of the Kruger National Park. The call number was VHHO, and as there are not going to be a permanent staff member available on the spot, we had to make the status library use only. So, on my return to Onderstepoort, this spreadsheet was given to Amelia, and she started to do the cataloging for us. About a year later, the renovations was finished, and we unfortunately had to go and unpack the safe storage. And what happened when we opened the door of the library, we could just barely open the door because the workers have put all the boxes on the floor. So you could get in the door, and that's where you could get. So we had to start by taking the first row of boxes and just put it on top of the next row so that we at least could get some walking around the shelves to start unpacking. About 3 days, aching backs, aching arms, aching shoulders, but we had most of the stuff either back on the shelves or into the cupboards. Once again, I had 2 more days, and then we started again writing it into the spreadsheets. 2 months later, it was time for the official reopening of this new renovated institution. So the books were arranged according to the original numbers, as Amelia wasn't finished by far with cataloguing the material. A flowering pot plant in the middle of those shiny tables rounded off the picture, and the library was ready for visitors again. The official opening was attended by various faculty members, members of the Exco of the University of Pretoria, Chief Mnisi and his wife, and it was really a nice venue, a nice event, because it is really a research station on the interface where it is needed. This renewed station now contains a very well-developed infrastructure with state-of-the-art laboratories, an auditorium seating about 100 people, available offices for researchers, and of course accommodation. A year later, it was time to visit Hans Huysen again. Amelia was finished with all the boxes and 8 of the 16 shelves. So now it was time to give the books a new identity and to make it look as if it's part of the University of Pretoria's collection. So yellow stickers were added, the stamps were added from the University of Pretoria, an order and an item number was added. The new items bought for this Hans Huysen research station was also packed out. At last, it's starting to look like a real library. But what did we learn from this? To incorporate another library into your own collection needs some planning. And we now realize that it's going to take us much longer than we thought at first. We are almost finished with the books. We haven't even touched the journals. We have some researchers who knew this research station years ago. They went there and they made a selection from the research reports, which they brought to the library. We started scanning them with funds that we received from the Veterinary Foundation in South Africa. So at the moment, quite a lot of them are already scanned, but it's in the process of being cleaned, and it will soon be uploaded to form part of the University of Pretoria's repository UP space. But fortunately, in the meantime, this whole research station is connected to the University of Pretoria's selection of online journals, electronic books, databases. So even the fact that the books of the journals are not catalogued yet, the electronic versions are available. Thank you very much.
Any questions for
Antoinette?
Yes. I was wondering about the mention of the results of research data. Is that going to be scanned or digitized, or be used? Because I could imagine that that would be really important in the disease transmission. It is. It is very important. There are a tremendous number of files with that sort of information. What we did, we decided to start with the research reports. And as we do the research reports, I'm getting the raw data. I'm keeping it aside. So what I want to do is, on demand, we will then, if people request raw data for that, we will put up a little notice, raw data available. So As people request more information about that specific research report, we will then take those files and scan it and make it available. The problem with scanning, I think all of you know, digitization is a big problem. You need hands. Because the scanning itself is fairly fast and quickly, but to clean and to make it available for web and uploading onto repositories takes quite a while. But we intend doing that because we realize that there is a wealth of information available there. So those files also came to the faculty, but unfortunately we don't have hands to do it at this moment, so we will do it on request as people need it, or researchers might need that.
Any other questions? I have a question for you, Antoinette. Who may use this collection? Can people from overseas, from other countries?
Yes, the main aim of this whole research station there on this interface, remember that's on the interface of Transfrontier Box, which is a nature reserves crossing country borders. And this is available for any person to come and do research in South Africa. We've got the laboratories available. We've got holding pens for animals. At the moment, though, that outside part is not really state of the art. That will be upgraded in phase two. But it is available. Anybody who wants to do research in that field are more than welcome to contact the University of Pretoria's Faculty of Veterinary Science administration people. And accommodation is available, laboratories are available. And remember, we even have those students, as I've already said, who can help with collecting your research data. It also exposes our students to research, because now they see how you collect research data, what are you doing with that. So any person anywhere in the world who wants to work on that can make use of that. They can just contact the faculty, and it is available for their use. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you. There's yes. Another question. I think we must just repeat them to so that it's recorded.
Okay, I will do so.
Okay. I saw that you had some very old books, and I take it you've begun to bring in some new items and are modernizing that. But the old reports that are probably very specialized to that area, how are you handling them? I mean, how are you indexing, cataloging them, storing them? How do you do that?
At the moment, we are only digitizing them. We are digitizing them. As I said, we got funds from the Veterinary Foundation in South Africa. We got a lady from outside who did the scanning for us. I'm doing the derivating and the cleaning up, putting it together in PDF again. And we are going to upload it onto our UP space, which is the University of Pretoria's repository. We created a new collection called Hans Huysen Research Reports. So at the moment, it is only digitized. The real paper copies will, at this stage, we're still thinking, are we going to make it part of our print, a paper collection? But that means it must be catalogued and made part of the Hans Huysen. I suppose in the long run, we will take them back there. But at the moment, I think it's more important for us to make it available electronically, because there's really a wealth of information in that research report. And it's not just for South African conditions. Some of those research were done by outside people, people not from South Africa. But due to the fact that it was the intellectual property of the Transvaal Provincial Administration, it is still part of that specific research station. And therefore, as that is now part of the university, we are allowed to make it part of our repository. But the paper copies, time will learn us what we are going to do with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thumbs up. Thank you very much.